Welcome to the Mile 99 interview with your hosts, Jessica Harris,
Mike Turner,
and Greg Larkin.
Enjoy this episode. We'll see you on the trails.
See you out there.
See you there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Mile 99 interview. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Turner. As you guys know, this place we hang out with our like-minded folks in our running community, share our stories, successes, failures, and even our deepest trail secrets. It's also the place to get the latest in the local race news and to find out what's going on in our community, where you can volunteer, run, hang out, lots of things going on. There's always something going on. We record live on Zoom and Facebook, one take, no breaks. And unlike your morning running group, what you say here, we record it and we keep it for backup, just in case you need it for something. Anyway, tonight I'm joined by my co-hosts, Greg Larkin and Jessica Harris. Greg, how's it going?
Oh, going pretty good. Spent the weekend just chilling out. Last hot one, made the strange decision yesterday to possibly train for this backyard ultra thing that's coming up in November, and decided that the best way to do that would be to do a 12-hour, 50-mile pavement run. So I survived. We'll see if that translates into anything come November, if I have the time to do it. But hey, put a few miles in. So how's it going, Jessica?
It's so good. Greg, that is so fun. I think you're, because you and I think Turner, right? You guys both did that during COVID. You did the lap thing. I think you did it
on there were a couple of those. Yeah,
Stagecoach.
Yep. Yeah.
But you did it silly. You did Stagecoach. That's too hard.
Yeah. Luckily, the loop I have here is only a mile. Well, this loop is a mile, so it's like short. So I kept coming back to the house, and I think there was like a 50-foot elevation gain. So I did like 40 laps around the neighborhood yesterday. So that wasn't a ton of climbing, but the monotony got to me. But that's what you need for backyard ultra, is train the brain.
Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. I'm going to go look at your Strava. That is so fun. Okay, well, how am I? I'm good. My finger's still broken. Waiting on hand surgery to get some of the tendons fixed. So I'm not supposed to run or anything. And it's not too, even walking, my hand swells. So I'm just watching my kids do athletic things, which is great. Kids are picking up new sports. Avery's doing gymnastics. Abigail is in soccer still and just picked up volleyball. And the other ones are doing soccer and probably do swim here soon. Anyways, we're just having lots of fun over here. Mike, how are you?
Well, so if you've noticed the social media, any spelling errors or a lack of content, it's because our content manager is down with her dominant hand. So if there's an error, give her some slack.
Thank you for saying that. It stressed me out.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. And Greg's helpful, but I'm like zero social media help, but that's another story. So I'm doing well. I mean, I have Javelina. I don't know why I signed up for that. I just did it. And I was like, okay, so I got that. But I'm excited to just cruise around. I'm not going for time or qualifier. I'm just going down to have a good time. I did it during COVID. So it was a weird race. I consider it the loneliest race I've ever done. I started on Thursday night and I ran, and I was done before the race started on Saturday. So it was really bizarre. So I'm going back for a traditional race Saturday morning start. So I'm excited about that. And also excited about our Patreon members. That makes me happy too. So I want to say thank you to our Patreon members. I hope you're enjoying our exclusive Patreon-only content. We have some bunch of stuff on there. All our post shows are on there as well. The video feeds from all these shows are all posted there as well. So thank you for that. And thank you to anybody that sends in money to Venmo. Both ways really help us out. We're saving up money. We got some interesting things lined up for this fall. So hope you'll see us out on the trail more with some new stuff. And that is it, Greg. What's going on with our community?
Well, yeah, we're definitely here tonight to talk about next weekend's race, the Sunset and Cider. We're going to get all into that. We're excited about it. First year. So, it's always nice to see a lot of these new races popping up. But of course, in this community, we have many old races that have been around for a long time. So those are our nice traditional ones as well. And we always want to see more of those added. So yeah, in that vein, we've got a few that have been around a few years. Euchre Bar coming up in a couple weekends. I think all the final stats went out today. And I was also looking online, and they've cleared the wait list. No surprise there. And there are now registrations open. So if you go to Ultra Sign Up, you can actually register. It's free. It's free for 20 to 30 hours of torture in the North Fork. So have a look at that one. If you know anything about using a map, a compass, or a Gaia GPS, I think this is, or rock climbing and poison oak abatement, I think this is your race. So get out there. RDL, and the date for that one is going to be on October 14th. So it's 2 weekends away. And after that, we will have, actually, no, wait, I'm sorry. It's this coming weekend. I'm sorry. I'm all messed up. It's the same day as Sunset Insider. So November, yeah, we got RDL coming up as well. So November 4th, we're going to be out there in various locations all over the course. Lots of exciting things happening there. So stay tuned to our feeds, for lots of news coming up on that. And then we've got, hopefully we'll have some time to chat about this another new race, the Backyard Ultra, coming along in the Folsom Lake area, that Bad Luck Running Club and Single Track Running are putting on together. So yeah, we have a few friends of ours that are signed up. I saw there's quite a bump in the number of entrants today. So yeah, I gotta figure out if I can swing it this year or not, but hopefully. And then, yeah, Martin Sengo, he's got a new race also, Doomsday 50K on the 9th of December. So there's a lot of stuff coming up here. It's great. And we've got all of our 5Ks and holiday races coming. Lots of those, I think, you can find online advertised, but lots of great stuff like Run to Feed the Hungry. And you've got like all your Turkey Day races, Wild Turkey 5K and 10K. And then CIM, I know a lot of our, as I've mentioned, a lot of our trail running community gets out there to help pace. I know when Mr. Nick is going to be out there doing some pace group. And so I'm excited to see that, because it's just a great, like, nice way to finish up the season for all the trail runners to get out there and support some road runners and just see some really awesome performances. We've got all the different, you know, end of the year, Jingle Bell Run, Santa Hustle, all those great races, you know, wrapping up the holiday season. So get excited for that stuff and then start it right off January 1st. You're going to have your resolution run. So I've already got the sign up for that. I don't know if any of you are building out that Auburn set of medals or not, but there's one to go. You got to get that in. So I'm there with you. One more medal and you got the whole six letter sequence there to spell out Auburn. So get excited about that. And yeah, we'll be talking about more of that stuff as we get towards the end of the year. And let's not forget, it's almost lottery season. So I'm sure that we're going to be chatting more about that as soon. The registration for that should open, I believe, November 1st. So get on there and slam the Western States servers. All right, that's about it. And I know Jessica's got some fun announcement right now.
Yeah, before I get to that announcement, I know that Paulo sent out an email to, if you've ever run the resolution run and say you just missed a year or something, you can actually do a virtual run and get your medals. So if you missed a year, life happened, or if you just want all of them, you could sign up and get all of them. So I thought that was a really nice touch because I'm missing a few. And it would be nice to have all of them. So good touch, Paulo. So if anyone's missing any letters, check out Single Track Running and you can do a virtual run to make sure that you get all of Auburn. So cool. But speaking of cool, our hosts tonight are giving away a free race entry to Sunset Insider. So in the chat, we've already got it going on our Zoom, but on Facebook, if you're listening, this is only for live listeners. If you are listening, let us know your favorite cider. That can be non-alcoholic or alcoholic. Let us know your favorite cider and you'll be entered into the raffle for a free race, 5 mile or 13 miles. We'll announce that at about 7:50 tonight. So yay, start typing away. Let me know your favorite cider. And then tonight we're just going to jump right into our interview. We're super excited to be sitting down with new parents, Shannon and Ken Krogsrud. Did I get it right? I think I got it right. All right. I got it right. And about all the fun events they've been coming up with in the fall. We have one for them this weekend. You may recall we had them on in the spring for the pre-race briefing for the Placer Trail Running Fest. And now they're back with us for Sunset Insider 5K and Half Marathon. If you want the backstories of these two super awesome people, I think Shannon was pregnant during the time too. So that's pretty exciting to look back on. They're episode 91. We're going to skip all their intros tonight because we got lots of race stuff to talk about. But we are so excited. Let's get right into it. Hey, Shannon, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having us on.
Of course. And Ken, how are you?
Great. Again, wonderful to be here.
So great. I know it's people are going to ask to see the baby, but as new parents, you know, they're a little noisy. So everyone, there's probably not going to be a baby sighting. Check their Instagrams. Shannon's made some cute videos. Go there. But right now we're just going to talk all about the race. And so we saw you guys for the Placer Trail Running Fest, wildly successful. Everyone was happy there. Great swag, great pictures, great energy. And now you're having a new event very close to the birth of your son. So let's talk about that timeline. Was this race always in the works? How does that kind of look like behind the scenes? Where did we get the idea for this one?
Well, so October is cider month. So I did want to have a cider event with Ponderosa Cider Co. They're, of course, a new company and they wanted to get pumped up and do stuff. And I reached out and said, hey, you know what'd be fun? Let's do a race like with you at some point. And they're like, well, October is like a month for us. So I was like, okay, let's do it. So I was like, well, I think we can juggle a baby and
yeah,
a race. And mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Well, what did I sign up for? No, it's fine. It's going great. It's just you know, a lot more hurdles, right? New hurdles I've never faced before. So that's fun, you know?
Yeah, I would say for my part, I just know very little of what's going on with this race. And I am just mostly my directing job is mostly directing the baby right now. So,
well, she'll have the baby there at the race as a mini director.
Yes.
So. I'm wondering how many of the people who've signed up percentage wise are there just for Everett, the new baby, because you know, well, I can't run. I didn't know I couldn't run it. I was signed up, but if I fall or make this swell, it's not a thing, but you guys made it really super easy for me to transfer my registration with no fees on Ultra Sign Up. So I thank you so much. My co-parent's going to run it. So I'll be out there with my kid, yeah, with two out of my four of my kiddos. So thank you for doing that. It's, you know, time is money. And that was a really nice gesture. Really appreciate
that. It's not easy for everyone to make some of these events, you know, life happens, that kind of stuff. So we try our best to either transfer to another race, this race, or some people, you know, there's one, two people who wanted a refund and, you know, I give what I can back. I have a daytime job. She has a daytime job. We're doing this for fun. We just want to be, you know, sustainable with the race, though.
Totally. Well, thank you for doing that. We'll be out there for sure. Cool. And you guys have built this really cool community, the Bad Luck Run Club. So let's talk about that a little bit. You guys are from here. You got to listen to the other episode to get all the details, but you guys are from here. And so you guys came back as a couple years ago, I think. And now you have this really great community that's throwing races. So what was the origin story of Bad Luck Run Club?
So again, growing up here, I had done some of the old school runs where there was like a, you know, the K2 beer mile back in the day at night with some of the old guard of the Western States runners. And there are a lot of them are still around, but they're not doing these crazy fun events as much anymore. I think just the community sort of changes over time. And that was 12 years ago. So when I came back to Auburn, I was like, you know what? I really want to build that community, or at least have it around sort of trail runners, ultra runners in the community. So I said, screw it. Let's put something together. Let's do it. You know, we had something in Maine. Let's do something here in California. We eventually sort of branched out and eventually took on the run club at Poor Choice on Wednesday nights. So from there it grew. We got a good following of people, a lot of new runners, a lot of expert old school runners, just a whole community. And we, you know, get together and do fun stuff. Everyone can do serious stuff on their own time. We're here to do the fun things like pumpkinhead miles and beer miles and getting silly, you know, skinny dipping in lakes in the middle of nowhere, all just things that, you know, fun consenting adults want to do.
That feed so. Your soul, because, yeah. You know, not everyone's in a racing season, but we still want right. the community and right. not everyone wants to, you know, be so serious about it all the time. The funniest picture I've seen from you guys on Instagram is, I don't know what kind of mile it was, but the big things of broccoli.
No,
send me over the roof. Like, you see, they didn't give like a little small thing of broccoli. It was like one lap, a whole thing of broccoli. And that's so funny. People are never going to forget that. Like, yeah, I had to eat a whole head of broccoli before I did another lap.
It's called the smiling. Death mile. Yeah, it was
the death mile. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So that one involves four random items that you don't know what they are. And you just sign up, and when you're in. That means it's free. I don't charge anybody, but when you're there, you got to do all four laps. If you don't do all four laps, it's just ridicule and it sucks. But it's fun. It's like, you know, we had chicken wings, broccoli, can of grape soda, and
ice cream sandwiches.
Yeah,
it was a full, well balanced meal.
Yeah, you had everything.
Yeah, like fruit, veg, protein.
Yeah, and a mile, and a little treat. Yeah, yeah.
And you guys have been a staple at races for aid stations. Like, you guys have made sure that you and your club are everywhere. And that shows, like, for us, you know, we take volunteering very seriously for the Mile 99 and in our community. So it's like, when we see Ken in that scary mask at a race, you know, we know the club's there too. Yeah. How do you cultivate a community that wants to be involved in things like that? Because sometimes we have these clubs, but, you know, it's just running and there's not a whole bunch of the give back on the other side. How do you balance that? Making sure that people are, you know, showing up to the fun stuff, but also giving back.
I personally would say it's being present at events, showing that the leaders are going to be there is important when you're putting on these sort of group community events. I know I get way more buy-in from people when they see not just the leaders, but they see us at other events that aren't ours. Like, you know, with Cool Moon, and we try to help out with that. You know, we were out volunteering for hours with that one, with the 100 milers. Yuba Gold, unfortunately, didn't happen this year, but, you know, we had planned to be out there for that. And we just had the baby, but we said, you know, we're part of this community. Ben's part of this community. We want to give back and be part of that. And really connecting with other race directors is another great benefit of what we do. And I think people see that and they like that and they want to be involved in a positive experience, not this like sort of business rivalry sort of thing. So I think just being present.
Yeah, I would agree. I also think it's about just making those connections. So like the people that come to our groups, it's building friendships. It's, you know, communicating with them and really getting them on board, because they might not, you know, volunteer for a race where they don't know anyone there. But if they know that we're going to be there, and it's really just about like, we're friends, we're hanging out, and then they get into it, they get excited, and it really just like motivates everyone, I think, to keep showing up in the community as well as keep racing, keep, you know, being our best selves while helping the community.
Yeah.
So if people are listening to this just for the pre-race and haven't necessarily been involved with any club activities, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you guys?
Every Wednesday at Poor Choice, that is usually the best time. It's Wednesday night at 6:15. We do a group run, all levels. We stop and wait for people, so no one gets left behind. And we do a lot of stop and waits, so it's not like once or twice. We're there with everybody. Mm-hmm.
About the shirts.
Oh yeah. If you come 5 times, you get a free shirt. So some buy-in. If you come every 10 times after that, you get a beer, free beer. And then five, you get a sweater. And we're just giving away stuff. Like, this is stuff that comes out of the race fund and it goes towards the runners. And again, it's just a give back. It's like, you know, we don't really get anything out of it besides from people getting free shirts and having a good time.
And we're also on Instagram and Facebook too. So you can also find all of our information there. But if you want to find us in person, Wednesday is at the Poor Choice.
That is great. Yeah. Cause I was going to say, like, I'm addicted to your guys' Instagram because it is so fun. I'm like, who got a shirt this week? Who got this? Who got that? So that is just a really good community building place. I love that. You're like, I was expecting you to say, go to my Facebook. And you're like, no, you need to meet us at this one place.
Meet
you
us.
Have to come and meet us.
Yeah. And it's fun to have fans from away, but it's a great, we're a community. We want people to join us. We get people from like Sacramento, Elk Grove, and that kind of stuff coming up on Wednesdays. I'm like, I mean, like,
the trick.
I love it. Be part of it. You know, they just want to be part of the trail community in Auburn. So it's a good feeling.
I love that. When you guys started the club, was it always the idea that you were going to do races, or was this the long plan? Like, you were going to have a couple races a year, or did it kind of just, you saw a need and you wanted to do it? What was that?
It's sort of like most things in my life spun out of control in a good way. I wanted the community. I wanted to do fun events like the Beer Mile, like I said before, and all these crazy miles. And then I with Placer Trail Fest, which was our first formal race with the Bad Luck Run Club, that event took place in an area that was sort of a backyard, unknown area. I used to jump fences and go there all the time. You know, it was illegal. But now that it's a park, I was like, oh my gosh, this is one of the most beautiful spots that I can ever imagine. And also right in our backyard, let's do this. Let's do a race there. And then it just sort of got bigger and bigger. And then people really enjoyed that. And then Sunset Insider came up and, you know, we had reached out with Ponderosa and they said, yeah, let's do a race. Now we have, you know, the NorCal backyard, you know, we have a lot of things coming up. And then we're also working on a 130 mile race. Through the Sierras, a stage race.
Is that a You Heard It Here First?
Yeah. So You Heard It Here First. That we haven't told anybody else. Literally, we haven't told anybody else. That is Skybreaking Racing and our club are working together on that to do.
That is so cool. Yeah. That is so cool. I might have some children floating through here in a minute, but you guys are used to it. And a co-parent. Okay. Not everyone's going to go through here. All right. Well, that is so great. Keep us updated. We'd love to do a pre-race for that as well. 130 miles is pretty great. You know what I think it's the perfect time for? Maybe a little commercial from Mike.
You're on mute, Mike.
Yeah, I had lost my own button here. Yeah, 130 miles, that is great. That's going to be pretty awesome. Yeah, and I know Ben has always had a love, I don't know where it is, but I imagine it's maybe it touches Nevada County. Yeah. He always has had a passion for that area, and there's so many good trails up there that are uncharted and seldom used and rugged and remote. Definitely some beautiful country up there. So excited to see what that is. But I do know what something you might want to wear if you were doing an event like that. You probably want a good gaiter. That's what I would think. And I know where you can get one. Turns out we are sponsored by Cotula. Yeah, it's true. They're based in Flagstaff, Arizona, and they make great products. I've used them every weekend. They have a couple new gaiters that they have. One's called a Renegator. Then there's even a new one called the Instigator, which is their trail version. They have fun names. It's a fun company with fun names, but the products are good. You know, it has the kind of with the strap under the bottom, which you think would be weird, but the strap has a 1,000 mile warranty on that strap. So it's going to last. The zipper is real fast. So you can use it in the thick mud or when your hands are tired or in the cold. It's a big zipper. So you can literally do it when your hands are freezing. I've used it in Minnesota in the pouring rain and the mud. I've used it in hot, dry races. It's just a good product. So you can go over there to the website, Cotula, KAHTOOLA.com, and put in our code THEMILE99 and get free expedited shipping on some gaiters that you can use next summer at a 135 mile race. Pretty exciting. So lots of stuff coming up. Lots of things to get into, Greg. So you want to get into Sunset Insiders?
Definitely. Yeah. So thanks again for joining us. And if I misspoke earlier, the race is this Saturday. So it's on the 14th. I'm sure everybody who's registered hopefully will know, but I checked Ultra Sign Up. You still got some entries available. So there's always a chance people might want to jump in here at the last minute. So definitely, if you're interested in this race, it's great. There's two options, a 5 mile and a half marathon distance. So it really seems to me like a perfect kind of race. It's low key. It's in the fall, you know, we're all sort of in that season where maybe we've done a bunch of stuff and we want to kind of kick back and just have some fun. So let's hear about it. Let's hear what's the deal. Where's the course? And let's just start with that. I guess you got the two options, and can you describe what those are like, just to give people an idea?
Sure. So, first and foremost, we want it to be, runnable, but a little challenging, but not something that's going to completely beat your butt. We want to have a little give with this event. There's a lot of races in the canyon. There's a lot of things going on. There's just every weekend something going on, and a lot of it is pretty butt kicking. So we wanted something that was a little bit easier, a little bit more chill. We wanted the party sort of vibe to the event in general. So the race starts at Gum Lane, which is basically the Auburn Overlook. It goes down Gold Street down to Roby Point, along Western States, up and over Roby Point. So you get a little bit of hill there, but it's not too long. It's, you know, maybe a quarter of a mile. And you go around Roby Point, come back, you do a popsicle, come back up to the Overlook or Ponderosa Cider, and that's about 5 miles. That's where the 5 milers finish. So the 13 milers and 5 milers are on the same course. The 13 milers will keep going, and they'll go along the sort of near the canal going on the upper rim of Auburn. They'll follow that basically to the dam roads, and the dam roads will go towards Oregon Bar. And those guys will do a loop off Cardiac Bypass. It's a little bit harder coming back up that, but it's very doable. I've run it a million times. You can go at a pretty good clip up a lot of that. There's a good spot where on the loop you can get the aid station there twice. So again, low key, you have everything right there. You'll see people, you know, shortly after a climb. And then you make your way back, you backtrack all the way towards the Overlook again along the canal, and then you finish at Ponderosa Cider. So two loops, two popsicle loops, basically. A good portion of single track trail, a little bit of road, dam road, but there's no real cars on it, so you can kind of go at your own speed and pace. But the views are spectacular. You get the view of the going south, sort of above Cardiac Hill. You get the view going over Oregon Bar. You get the view at Roby. It's a perfect time of day to run. I don't know if you ever run in the evenings. I know a lot of you are week morning runners, but evenings are just spectacular out there. So that was the other bonus of this run.
Yeah. Well, I forgot to mention it starts at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So, and half marathon and 5 milers, are they going to just all start together in like one big pack kind of, and then just split off?
Yeah, this year, because we kept it very low as far as numbers wise, we'll start them all together, and there shouldn't be an issue with filtering out.
Yeah,
it'd be cool for the 5 milers to watch everybody sort of come through again, you know, while they're having a beer, you know, enjoying themselves.
Yeah. So it's actually start finish at the cider company itself, or slightly okay. So yeah, like right in that parking lot there.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And Well, just in general, logistically, then, like parking, would you suggest that they park, anyone signed up, park like elsewhere? Because I know it's a little tight in there, but
they can park. So there's an allowment of space in front, sort of right off. You turn off of what's the Overlook Road there? Oh my gosh, is that not High Street? No,
wasn't. Is it?
I can't remember the name of the road, or I'm spacing right now, but.
Yeah,
right off Gum Lane, as you're driving up to the cider company, there's a big space, a big gravel area in front.
Right. Okay.
We'll have somebody there sort of guiding people where to park. You can also park in the Overlook lot. You know, you don't want to be there super late, but you're not staying late, so it's fine. And then there should be plenty of parking, especially in the state park little parking lot, the staging area for Western Virginia, right there. So there's plenty of spots to park real close to the cider. You're not walking very far.
No.
If you really feel committed, you can park at Plaster High School too. That's another spot. But
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. And so, yeah, it looks like a couple thousand feet of climbing for the half marathon. Let's see, about 700 for the 5 miler. So not too bad. But like you said, you get some awesome views. And so I hear there's a cutoff, though, for the half marathon. Is that right?
Yeah, there is. So it's unfortunate that we can't have it just open, you know, as long as it takes for the half marathon, but it's because it gets really dark and we are just not prepared for runners to stay out late at night. So we definitely welcome walkers in the 5 mile. There's plenty of time to walk a 5 mile before the sun sets. But I think it's 7:15. I believe 7:20 for the half marathon. And that should be enough time to get through. I think it's like a 15. Okay. Thank you. She knows the details. She says she didn't know the details. She knows the details. Mm-hmm. 15:25 pace. That's a little bit above walking. You know, so that's a good amount of time of walking and just a hair running, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. And then, so you did mention aid stations. So it looks like the 5 mile loop, which everybody does, there's no aid on that loop. Hopefully, no. Everybody can carry enough water, and it's early in the race and everything. They'll be okay. And then I'm just reading here, like you've got one then at the 5 mile coming back, so the half marathoners can get some feed there, and then onwards to 8.5 and 9.5, and then basically the last 4-ish miles, they'll run it in from there. Do you want to just talk about kind of like what's going to be at the aid stations and who's going to be helping you and all those sorts of things?
Sure. So we hired Cirque du Soleil. They'll be out there at the aid stations. Perfect. Going crazy. No. I'm teasing. So we have, this is the typical food. So of candy, chips, soda, you know, of course, water, and Scratches are is one of our sponsors this year. So Scratches provided a bunch of free pineapple flavored drink, which is gonna be great. So half marathoners get the best tasting one that they offer, I think. And I think that's pretty much it. We might have some gels, but the standard stuff you'd get at most races.
Yeah, that's cool. Excellent. Yeah. And I mean, at least you're not sending a cardiac itself, right?
No. It's a little bit, yeah, you have the switchbacks that go up. So you have it's a little bit easier.
Yeah.
The only thing I do want to comment about the cardiac part is coming down cardiac bypass from the dam road to the Oregon bar a lot. It gets a little rocky there. It's pretty bouldery. So you want to be sure to watch your feet on the downhill. On the uphill, you're probably not trekking that fast, but you might be. So just watch yourself on your way down that. But you should be fine.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's a great area out there. And like you said, I mean, the views into the canyon are fantastic. It's a really very nice area to be in. And it looks like you've also got like all of the routes are available on your website. Like people can download these things so they're watch and follow along. Is that right?
Yep. Correct. Yeah. Everything's through Strava, so they can download it through Strava. It's on our website, and it's also on our Ultra sign up page. So you'll find it. There's no way you can lose it.
Awesome. Are you going to be doing any kind of like official timing, or is there tracking of any sort, or how's that all going to work?
So we'll have timing. We won't have chip timing for this event, but we will have, it's sort of hand time / we have an app for it. So we'll be tracking times, for the 5 mile and the half marathon. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Bib pickup. Is that anything that, has been settled, in terms of
what you do there? So Fleet Feet is our sponsor. Fleet Feet Roseville Folsom is our sponsor for this event, and actually going forward in our 2024 races, with exception for the one. And they're providing bib pickup at their Roseville store Friday from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. And Shannon and I will be out there giving high fives and giving away swag. And then again, there's the hour before the race, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. At Ponderosa Cider, we'll have a table set up there, so you can pick up your bib. You can also pick up your bib there. So you have a couple options. The Roseville, I wouldn't wait to the last minute. I think a lot of people are going to wait to the last minute to pick up your bib. If you have the time, please come down and pick up your bib from the Roseville.
It's always good to get that out of the way. And I guess that just also just made me think of something. Like, I've personally, and this goes back to when I was racing bikes and everything else, I've always had like more difficulty mentally preparing for a race late in the day, because you're sort of like wandering around all day. Like, what should I do? Should I be laying down? Should I eat now? Should I eat later?
Yeah. Like, it's a harder thing. You're right. It is definitely a harder thing. I'm actually an evening runner. That's my thing. When I wake up in the mornings, I'm just like slow roll to get out on the trails. I'm just like, oh gosh, rock. Oh, I better move my foot. Oh, I didn't move my foot. You know, like slow to go. But in the afternoon, I'm like, oh, I've got like 3 cups of coffee in me. I'm like ready to roll. And then I immediately eat and go to sleep. So that's a little bit for me. So everyone's a little bit different, of course, with their runs.
Yeah.
But I hope people enjoy a different setup. You know, most races are in the morning. This is a new style for a lot of people.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, there's been a few, like I think Paulo actually had one a number of years ago, the Insomnia 35K that started at Overlook and went down to Beals. And I did that one year. And yeah, it was just wild doing this race at night. And you finish pretty late. And then it's kind of like you're wired and trying to get to bed.
We're hoping people will hang out, have a couple ciders. I mean, you know, 2 ciders is going to get you sleepy, I think. Pretty high ABV. So we'll, I think I'm hoping people hang out. There's going to be a band. We have pizza there. It's going to be a whole thing. So I'm really hoping people will enjoy the after party and stay and wind down with us. So I understand that though.
So first you get your sunset, then you get your cider.
There you go. Perfect name. actually, question on sort of the timing and the darkness and all that. The cutoff is like basically sunset. Do you have a sweep team out there? And
yeah, we do have.
Know you're going to be like on the cusp. Should you bring a headlamp just in case? Or
so I would bring a headlamp if you think you're going to be at that 5:25 sort of pace. I'm not going to kick you off the course if you're on the course. We do have a cutoff, but that's really if you're falling behind at the last aid station. But we do have a sweep team coming from the last aid station and to the finish. So the last 4 miles, I think we'll be all pretty good through the first 9 miles.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. So at least if there is somebody that, you know, and maybe they had something happen on the course even, and they're just like really slowed down or maybe they left that last aid station and then the sweeps catch them. Like, I'm assuming the sweeps will just stay with the last runner on course and all that.
And we actually have some, I have some headlamps, so we'll be bringing those down and we'll have those for the runners in case they don't have a headlamp. We, you know, we want them to finish. The state parks are like, just have fun, go have fun out there. They weren't super crazy about timing. It was more a safety precaution for ourselves to make sure that we're getting people off the course responsibly. But again, I could have just said, hey, we're out there until you're out there all night, you know, but that's hard on volunteers and hard on myself. So
that sounds reasonable. So that's good. So just a piece of advice. I mean, if you have some folks out there who know they're going to be kind of on the slower end, it's just a good idea. It's always a good idea to be prepared, you know, and especially where this is a little different format later in the day and all that, just be aware of your surroundings and have the proper things you need. We just entered a cool phase in the last 24 hours, so I haven't checked the weather app to see, but is it, I'm assuming it's going to be reasonably decent.
It's going to be nice. High 79 ish in that range. So it's going to be, it's still warm, but not super hot. I think it's going to be a nice cool night. So for you Californians out there, bring like a light jacket for the after part, but I think it's still tank top weather and you'll be fine, but consider bringing something a little bit warmer, but I think temperatures will be just perfect, especially when you're climbing out of the canyon. You're going to get warm and toasty. So.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. But yeah, for sure. Afterwards, like make sure you have a little dry pair of clothes to put on. And I think they have bathrooms like right in the building there. So hopefully you can just change up real quick, or maybe at Overlook or something like that. Right. Get yourself out of your sweaty clothes if you have any, because you'll get chilled pretty quickly, I'll bet, as soon as that sun goes down.
right.
That's awesome though. So you mentioned Fleet Feet Roseville and Folsom. I mean, that's great. You've picked them up as a sponsor. I mean, so just reading through everything and hearing all these stories, I mean, it sounds like the whole community, state parks, Ponderosa, Fleet Feet, everybody have been super receptive. And did you sort of know that was happening, or like, is this a new thing where people are just kind of maybe coming back and really getting into things, and sponsors are picking up again and really wanting to get people out there? Like, well, how do you explain it? Cause I feel like there was a little bit of a lull there for a while, and we're too interested in kind of doing too much or sponsoring things. I don't know if that's just my perception, but.
No, you're right. You're right. There was sort of it was a hard ask for a lot of people, but I think what Fleet Feet was sort of looking for, and I don't think it's a secret, is that they wanted to be part of something that was new, invigorating, that had a good look, and it had a good feeling. And we had talked for Placid Trail Running Festival, and I was still a little bit new. They sort of knew me, but they didn't really see the result of what we had put on before. So after we had that event, they're like, "We loved it. We looked great. Like, how can we be part of this?" Which is great. The state parks, same thing. You know, I have a history with state parks, but also as I used to work with state parks, but also having a history with having other races in the area and having a community-based event, run club, they really saw what we had going on and were really excited to see it go to happen. And also work with somebody who knew how to organize events. There's a lot of people who want an event, but maybe have never done one before. And so there's a lot of trial and error, but Shannon and I have been doing this events for a long time. I think we've sort of really have that sort of vibe or that sort of expertise coming into these meetings. So Fleet Feet jumped on board. They want to be part of it. They want to do more in the community, and they really want to be involved. And I love that. I love seeing that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, I know they put on all kinds of training programs and demo runs and all of that. And so, it's nice to see them kind of, and I don't know if they've been historically more focused on road running per se, but at any rate, like, get involved in everywhere, right? Because at the end of the day, we're all runners. We all, we may favor trails, but we often run on roads and vice versa. And it's just all one big community when it really comes down to it. So
and that's true. Many runners are running CIM and they're running, Paulo's 50K, formidable. People are running these crazy events together, and they're part of both communities. We shouldn't exclude ourselves from one community to another. Like, we're all the same, basically. We do different sort of events, but the personalities might be a little different, but we're still part of the same community.
Yeah, no doubt. I skipped over one thing, and it just came up in the chat here, so let's talk about that, and that is flagging. Especially for people who are new to the area. I mean, a lot of us, we run these trails constantly. It's sort of like old hat, but there's a lot of new people that come out, especially as you've built your community, as you said, like tons of new runners that you've, started, with the Poor Choice runs and all that. So for somebody who's not as familiar, how hard is it going to be to follow the course? What's the flagging situation going to be like out there?
Of course. So with my events, I prefer to do pin flags for the events. I don't like using chalk because it doesn't go away. And as somebody who uses the trails a lot, I sort of hate seeing that. It looks almost like graffiti to me after a couple weeks because it doesn't rain here a lot. So so we're using pin flags for the turns. You'll see three pin flags indicating a turn. You'll see confidence flags as you go on. If you're in the 13 miler, you'll see orange pin flags. If you're in the 5 mile, you'll see blue pin flags. Now the 13 mile, the 5 milers follow the exact same course as the 13 milers. So they'll just be together. There won't be any separation between both distances. You'll see both pin flags together as a confidence boost. There's also a number of signs, which I forgot, they're in a box right outside here, but they're probably, I think like maybe 8 inches wide, 8 inches wide. They're black and white arrows with some green on it. And that is my indicator arrows of where to turn. You'll see those at major turns. So same thing at Placid Trail Fest. We just went overboard with the markings. We didn't want to lose people. That course is very twisty, turny. This is a little bit more sort of understanding. You follow the wider path. You're not on these deer trails. But we'll have a lot of flags and pin and arrows. So
awesome. And then I would recommend for anybody that also is new, maybe this is your first race ever up in the canyon, or you haven't been up there much, definitely download that GPX file and load that on your watch. I mean, that's going to be like a real great asset, I would say, to have out there no matter what, you know. Right. And then all your kind of common advice, which would be like, hey, if you've gone more than a quarter mile and you haven't seen a flag, or maybe you can speak to that, like how frequently you would see those confidence flags if they go beyond that point, like turn around and backtrack to the last one you saw.
So I typically don't put any pin flags beyond a quarter mile as far as between each other. So you'll see at a tenth of a mile to maybe a quarter of a mile, you'll see every pin flag. You'll have, again, on every turn, you should see pin flags. If you're at a turn intersection, you don't see any pin flags, you have gone the wrong way. Want to backtrack and back to where you sort of followed. And then when you see pin flags again, try to follow that. I do have wrong way signs that you'll also see, which I forgot to mention. It says pretty loudly, like, wrong way, turn around, follow the pin flags. Mm-hmm. So I'm fairly confident between the pin flags and the signs that we won't get anybody lost. And I know that I say this as somebody who, like, I've done these trails a million times. How could you ever get lost out here? But I do understand there is a lot of turns. It's Auburn. There's ups and downs, but we'll keep you on track. We'll keep you along the right path.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And like you said, you're using what sound to be more the popular, well-traveled types of trails and things, which is good. I've noticed, you know, since the last 3 years, especially, there's a lot more trails that people have just started putting in, like, probably not with the agreement of the rec area, I'm guessing, you know. So you do have to sometimes, like, even sometimes I'm going along on a trail I've been on a whole bunch of times, and I see this thing go off to the side, like, that looks pretty well established. Yeah. Like, no, wait, that's a new one. So something to be aware of. But yeah, the GPX file, I think, is a great idea. And thank you for providing that. So that's cool. So just in case, I mean, again, like, some new runners maybe showing up for this, they're really kind of trying out a trail run for the first time. We hope it doesn't happen, but if there's any, like, medical issues or other types of emergencies, like, what sort of support do you have from the community there?
So our course is almost, with the exception of one small stretch in Western States, the rest of the course is easily accessible for EMS on fire road or in dam roads or fire roads. There is a section sort of by Gold Street on Western States that is not inaccessible, just sort of not the easiest to 100% get to. But I think people will still be pretty fresh there. They're near civilization, near homes. And for that section, the rest of the course, we have, very close, to homes, and there should be cell phone reception the whole way through the course. So I don't anticipate any issues, but we do have radios, at the aid stations. So, you know, I have myself and then the Cal Fire and Sheriff both know that the event's happening and where the course is going, so they can easily respond if need be. If there's any reason that we need to have people at, for they got hurt, twisted ankle or something like that, we will have somebody come down and pick them up at the aid station. If they're unable to move, they'll either call 911, or if they're seriously injured, or let another runner know, and that runner will tell the aid station and I'll come out and pick him up, or we'll have another volunteer come pick him up. I'm hoping Ben will come out to help us, and he's really good at he's really good about that kind of stuff too. So
perfect. All right. Yeah, that should, I think, ease everybody just in case, you know, because, I mean, you know, you may have some first timers out there, and it's a big deal, you know, getting out there, getting in a big pack of people and trails maybe you don't know, and you're trying to, like, manage all the things, you know, so it's good to have that support system in place.
It's important to know that is going to happen and plan accordingly. I've been at some of the races, some local, that don't have a plan at all. They're just like, well, you're on your own. You sign up for the race, and you sign up for my race or not, I'm going to help pick you up off the trail, you know? So it doesn't matter, you know?
Cool. Yeah. So they make it to the finish. Obviously, there's cider available. There's pizza. What sort of other things are we looking at, like merch, swag, other kinds of awards, anything like that?
So everyone gets their own glass, which is not right available. I would be smart to have it. but everyone gets their own cider glass with branded with
you the gotta event. Show up to see it. You how about that?
That's right. Show up to see it. You have to run it to get it too. Please don't message me asking for your cider glass and not running the race. You get that. You get a hat, a running hat, and if you get your aged group, you'll get a first place age group award, which is a coaster. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful brown coaster that I had a local woman make for us. And then Hydropack is another sponsor, so they're giving away free reusable cups. So I know a lot of races have that, but if you don't have a reusable cup, there's no excuse at this point. You're going to get one. So you got one this time around. Please use them instead of having these disposable throwaway cups. They fold up to almost to nothing. You know, you can put them in a pocket and never know they're there. So you'll get that too. So that's sort of the swag we have for the event. We don't have shirts this year. We will have them next year for the event. I just really, really, I wanted to get the cider, two pours of cider for each person. So that was the big sort of draw, I think, for the for as far as swag goes. And they have a plethora of, I think, cider. Ponderosa Cider has, I think, nine ciders on tap, a few bottled too. You can pick any one of those in those pours, and they're just amazing. I don't know if you ever had Ponderosa Cider. You will now. Just tasty as heck. So
awesome. Well, it sounds like you've got all the details planned out. Sounds like everybody's going to be well taken care of. I am unfortunately not going to be in the area, so I won't be able to check it out, but next year for sure. Is there anything else that we haven't covered that you think would be really important for the runners to know about?
No, I think it's a pretty easygoing race. I think expect to sort of hang out afterwards, enjoy the band. We have Wolf Creek Boys hanging out, playing some live music. We have Italian Brothers Pizza. They're making handmade custom pizza, which is again another great ad to a race you don't always see. Just come out and enjoy, have a good time with us. That's what we want. Just have you to have a good time. Go do something hard for a couple hours and come out and hang out with us.
Yeah, perfect. That sounds amazing. I'm looking forward to hearing the race report. My partner's doing it, so I'm looking forward to that. And I know Nick's doing it, so that's cool. We do have a few minutes before we sort of wrap things up. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about also was this Backyard Ultra race briefly. If you want to just give us a little preview on that. And for anybody that doesn't know what type of race this is, maybe describe that and then where it is and how you got the idea and anything else that we can share in a few minutes before we wrap things up.
Sure. So NorCal Backyard Ultra, as far as I understand, there's no other backyard events in the region. A Backyard Ultra event is something where you typically, it's usually a low-key race, but how it usually operates is that you have to run 4.2 miles within 1 hour at the top of every hour. So if you get done in 30 minutes, you have 30 minutes to hang out before you run again. You don't just go out and start your next loop. You have to sort of wait. So there's actually a bit of strategy to it. I did my first one in 2016, I think, right before I met my wife. Actually, she came out and crewed for me. It was the first race she crewed for me. And I went out to run 50 miles and I wound up running like 70 miles and becoming the second to last man standing. So I dropped out. The other guy won. It had been a battle for like 20 miles, but that's sort of the style of this race. We're running from Granite Beach to Beals Point in Folsom or Granite Bay. You have an hour to run that one segment, and then you have another hour to run that segment back. So with this race, you have a parking spot allotted to you. You have space available to have your own, create your own aid station. We'll have aid stations at each point. But really your goal is to muster out. Can you do 100 miles on this path? I know you can, because I've seen people do it out there, but let's see. I want to see some people out there doing it over and over and over again and crushing some distances. It's a great way to run a distance that you never thought you could do, because there's so much sort of time available to you in a sense to sort of stop and hang out. And there's also aid, and you have your own spot to sort of get your gear together. It's a good opportunity to run something super unique and super fun. And it's you definitely are seeing it more and more and more, mostly on the East Coast, but they're definitely here too.
Yeah, they're definitely showing up a lot. It's a worldwide thing. There's of course Lazarus Lake has the big, was it the big dog backyard ultra? It's like, is that the world championship of backyard ultras? And he's the guy that runs Barkley marathons and that has that thing, and they all kind of like funnel down and invite, he invites like the top people from around the world, I guess, to do that one. And there's been some pretty wild records set for like hundreds of miles of endurance. Oh, yeah.
People have done, I think, like, what, five? We had a friend of ours that did like 5 days. The guy who beat me at mine, I think he did five or six days. The Backyard Ultra is happening November 18th, for those of you who are wondering. Yeah, November 18th at 10 a.m. So it's a late start to the day. So you have some time to sleep in, get ready for a long night of not sleeping. But it's definitely gonna be awesome.
Now, one quick question before we leave this subject, is it limited to 100 miles, or if you have multiple people who just want to keep
running,
like it, that's the thing about these races. There's no predicted end.
Right. Right. So Paulo and I are tag teaming. Paulo from Single Track Running, and I are tag teaming this. So two race directors coming together to do this, which is hard if you're doing, you're by yourself. You got to sort of be on or have somebody that's on. So two of us together makes sense to be out there as long as it takes for someone to be done with it. You know, there are people who've done 3 days or people done 5 days, 4 days. I don't suspect that people will be out there that long, but I do suspect some people will get up to 100 miles, 120 miles. Mm. We'll see. You know, it is November. It's going to be cooler weather, but it's still California. It gets warm. So sometimes people get a little toasty in the next afternoon, you know, but it's doable. It's definitely doable. It's right after Rio, so there's a good opportunity to run something fun.
Yeah, yeah. The thing I find fascinating about the format too, I was thinking about it, like we have all these long races now, 200 mile, 250, whatever. You can sleep because you don't have to get up at every hour on the hour. But these things, like, you can run fast and maybe catch 5 minutes of sleep, but you have to go again. So.
Exactly. There is a bit of a, like, you sort of get cut a little bit, which is unfortunate, but it keeps the race flowing. It keeps it moving. It keeps people within the same sort of distance and time of the event. Cause when it comes down to it, if both you and the next person drop out at the same time and you're the last two people, the winner is a person who ran it the fastest. Right. So there is a little bit of race element to it still, but I lost to a guy. I was beating him by 3 hours or 4 hours and he beat me cause I dropped out. So, like, you know, it's just all about strategy and about how you can do it.
Well, and we saw some really cool things when Paulo did one day in Auburn. I mean, Sengo, I think he was like 105, 110 or something. People go over the 100 and you don't think they're going to. You think in their head, they're like 100 miles, that seems good. And then they're like, but I can still keep going. And it's going to be a really cool event. So back to Sunset Insider. We got a couple last minute things. You guys do need volunteers. I've posted that link everywhere. Check out the volunteer swag you get with that. So if you guys are not, and it's a short race, you know, so get some volunteer credits with the Bad Luck Run Club. And then to wrap up the show, we have a rapid fire baby edition. So you guys already did the regular. We're going to do a baby edition. Are you guys ready?
Ready. So ready. Do it.
So ready. These might all be for mommy to answer, but who knows, Ken. What's your favorite baby moment so far, Shannon?
Favorite baby moment. It's not one specific moment, but he does this little thing where his lip quivers and it's just this little like, and it's like the most dramatic thing I've ever seen. And it's just my favorite thing every time I see
it. It'll melt your heart.
Oh my God, completely. Yeah.
I'm going to borrow that baby. What's your favorite post baby meal?
Ooh. Well, right after I had him, which is very similar to right after an ultra, I had a chicken salad sandwich, which actually was surprisingly delicious because I hadn't eaten anything that day. It's kind of like after an ultra when you're just like devouring whatever's in sight. So that we're also living on a lot of Dairy Queen blizzards.
A right lot. Now. Like every other day we're at Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's nothing wrong with that. Well, I remember. Oh no, Lactaid, get that sponsor up. Yeah.
Right.
I remember eating hospital food after all of mine, and I was like, "This is the best food I've ever eaten," and it's not. but it's not. It was at that moment.
Yes.
It was at that moment.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then this one, maybe each of you have an idea for this one. What's your bucket list adventure with Everett?
Oh,
bucket list.
Like a mountain you want to climb or right, a trip right. you want to take or
so something. I have mine real quick. Sorry. I do a thing. My adopted dad and I do this thing where we gorse scramble or float down the river. And we do a lot of these real crazy, like bouldering climbs down the river. We float on little air mattresses down the river. And then we have to scramble out on these trails or deer trails, sort of like Eugar Bar, if you ever are doing Eugar Bar. I'm excited to take him on those. Like that is like, I cannot wait until he's whatever age appropriate that is to do it next week. I don't know, whenever he's appropriate to do it. And we'll go do that.
Yeah. I'm excited. I grew up out on the East Coast. So I'm excited to take him back to the East Coast at some point and get to show him. I mean, our mountains are a little smaller out there, but they are still really beautiful and just get to show him some of the things that I grew up on.
But they're like the oldest mountain range. They're like been around for like,
oh geez,
750 million years or something crazy like that. I mean, they got some stories, so they might not be as tall, but they got stories in those mountains. So that sounds good. Coast to coast, baby. We love it. Well, we had a race giveaway. People let us know their cider. So I'm going to pull the giveaway, and it is, oh, just grab one, Jess. Okay, let's see who it is. Drum roll, please. Chris Jacobs.
Hey.
In the chat.
All right.
Thank you. So since we know them, we're friends, I will be in touch and get you guys connected with Ken and Shannon for a free race. Thanks guys for doing that. I think that's really special. So thank you guys so much. We're going to wrap up this show. If you're a Patreon, go ahead and stay on. But for everyone else, we're so thankful. If this is the first time you are listening to The Mile 99, make sure to follow us across all platforms at The Mile 99 Interview. Join our Patreon for extra bonus content and some cool swag, you know. And we have episodes coming up and some big things coming up for Rio. So stay tuned. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Ken and Shannon. We'll see you guys on the trail.
Bye.